You read the Bible, Greg.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's pastor.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 National Scouts.
Start see pictures, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello, and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. This is episode number 95, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we've got a review of Wonder Woman 84. We'll also talk about some other things that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. How are you guys doing this week?
I'm okay. I've actually started something new.
New Year's resolution?
No, I have a list. But it turned into less of like a resolution list and more of like a things that I want to do in 2021 list. But that's beside the point. What I have recently started doing is I've recently started
jerking off before bed,
going to sleep in the buff.
Really?
Oh yeah, and I gotta say, so good.
Is that on the list of things to do?
Jerking off before bed or jerking off in bed?
There you go. Just spray it all over the sheets.
All right, I'm going to bed. Good night, guys.
What sparked this?
I was bored one night.
You know where this goes.
I was bored one night. I already had all of my clothes off, standing in the bathroom brushing my teeth. And then I don't typically, but this one night I just happened to get out of the shower. I was wiping myself down. I looked to my right, saw my toothbrush, and I was like, I might as well do it now. Brushed my teeth, and then I walked to bed, and I was like, I could put on underwear. Or I could just go to bed like I am, the way God intended. So then I laid in bed in the nude and fell asleep. And I gotta say, it's one of the best experiences I've ever had.
So now you do it consistently?
Every night. I've done it for like 3 nights in a row.
And Alyssa loves it.
I mean, she's asleep by the time it happens anyways. I mean, I'm not like, I'm naked, you know? I'm not like doing anything weird.
Can we get her a live?
You want me to go get her?
Yeah, go get her.
All right.
Yeah, bring her in. Oh, this is good.
Also, it should be noted that Chris is wearing swim trunks right now because all his shorts are dirty. Apparently part of his resolution was not to do laundry.
He hasn't gone to mom's yet.
That's exactly what he said.
That he hasn't gone to mom's yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Dude, there's no way Alyssa enjoys this.
Maybe she's doing it too.
Oh, God.
It's a co-op.
What's the verdict?
She's coming in.
She's nice.
Is it true that Chris sleeps in the nude?
Sometimes.
Is this something that you're okay with?
I usually don't know about it until I wake up.
Oh, God.
And
what a sight.
I've been doing it like it's consistent. Like I'm doing it consistently.
Is this something
it's
you feel?
It's not that consistent.
I've been doing it the past 3 nights, every night.
What a model of consistency.
That's consistency.
I mean, yeah, it's something consistency.
I've never done it before, and then I wake up and I'm getting ready, and you're still sleeping, and then you roll over. It's a little.
So
shocking.
Let's see if
I mean,
can
whatever, but
let me see if I can understand this, Chris. 3 nights of the roughly, let's say 1,500 nights that you and Alyssa have spent together, you've spent sleeping in the buff, and you think that's a model of consistency.
All I'm saying is I haven't done anything else for the past 3 days in a row except for sleep in the nude.
And tonight's game number four.
Tonight?
Okay.
Alyssa,
so
are you okay
are wearing
it?
A swimsuit right now. Because you're out of laundry and you won't do laundry? Or
this is because it's
the new you for
right now. Right now I'm wearing a bathing suit because the shorts I was wearing were dirty and I haven't done laundry, so I didn't have time to do laundry.
How many more days do you have to go without doing laundry before you're full nude all day, every day?
I mean, I've
got like 2 days left.
Yeah, I don't have long. I can get through work tomorrow, but if I don't have laundry done tomorrow, I'm going to be forced to, like, you know, take that extra leap. But back to me sleeping nude.
Let's get back to it.
Alyssa, I need to know, are you okay with this?
I don't care.
For the record, that's her saying she doesn't care.
Yeah, but does this spark any interest in you to want to embark on the same journey together?
No, no.
That's fine.
All I'm saying, guys, give it a try.
I've tried it. I don't like
it.
I don't like it either.
I'm not a fan.
I've done it numerous times.
Well, I don't. That's why I don't want to do it with you.
It's cold, you know?
But that's like...
You're exposed?
To what?
The world.
You're under a blanket.
You never know.
Are you sleeping without a blanket like some psychopath?
Here's a question for you, right? You go to bed, right? You're watching TV on your laptop. You fall asleep in the nude. You leave your little camera on all night. Who's to say fucking Snowden doesn't take a peek at your wiener while you're in bed?
I hope he does.
Are you accidentally FaceTiming mom? That'd be embarrassing.
I've never
been there.
No, I'm not
going to
tell that story.
No, go ahead.
No, it's a different...
Are you full?
I feel like you can't say that. And then...
Are you full nude? You don't have socks on?
No.
Okay,
you don't sleep
cool.
with socks on?
No, I don't sleep with socks on.
What a psycho are you?
Do you sleep with socks on?
Every night.
Seriously?
Oh, that's weird.
Clean socks or the socks you wore that
socks
day?
Socks I wore all fucking day, bud.
You're fucking disgusting.
You're gross.
I don't know what a human equivalent of like a raccoon would be, but that's me.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Dude, people were talking about this today at work. They're talking about how like when they get home from work, they immediately have to take off their work clothes and put on like their house clothes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh really, dude? Like I'll wear this until I go to bed.
Do you wear? But you wear it to bed.
And then sometimes you just wear two beds.
Bed, but everything else is good to go.
Like
that's
the
kosher.
T-shirt you wear?
That's kosher, bud. I've been wearing this all day.
That's disgusting, dude.
Oh, do you guys remember Josh Elwood, who was in my class in high school?
Not really.
When I was in middle school, I stayed the night at his house. When I was in middle school, I stayed the night. Oh, yeah. Dang it. When I was in middle school, I spent the night over at his house once, and he got fully dressed before he went to bed and slept in it, so that when he woke up, he was, like, fully dressed and ready to go.
That man's a visionary.
That's efficient. That's efficiency at its peak.
Yep, he wore jeans and, like, a shirt to bed, and when he got up, boom.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've fallen asleep in, like, a pair of khakis or cargo shorts or jeans before, like, at a friend's house, but, like...
That's because literally for 6 years, you wore nothing but cargo shorts.
Yeah,
it's inevitable you fall asleep in them eventually.
And I don't regret any day I wore them.
That literally sounds like something that I would come over here one night because you'd be like, dude, you never guess what I started doing. I'd be like, what? I'm sleeping in jeans and a t-shirt, so in the morning I can just get right up and go.
I'm not cool with that, by the way.
That might be the new thing.
I fall over and I feel scratchy jeans touching me.
Wait, Alyssa. Alyssa, if you had to pick between Chris sleeping in jeans and a polo or full nude, which do you pick?
I'd rather take the nude.
Nice.
Because
nice.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would want to. God. Chris in a polo looks like a dad and.
Hold up.
I feel like that, I don't know.
Whatever.
And And I don't. I'm
gonna take the win. I'm not gonna fight this.
You like kick me while you're sleeping. So don't want me to be like kicked with jeans.
I'm so sorry. I feel like in my sleep, like I flail so much that I end up just beating the shit out of you.
Is this your public apology?
It wasn't me apologizing. First time ever. Stating what I do.
Say you're sorry.
I am sorry.
Wow. Thank you.
Chris, if you were to sleep in jeans, would you have your Texas-sized rattlesnake belt buckle on as well?
Yeah. Holster on and everything. I feel like that's a good idea, though. I feel like Josh Elwood's got some... he's got some method to his madness.
Maybe that's why he went to Dartmouth and I didn't.
He went to Dartmouth?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, no, this is the shit. This
that's
is the
my
new
wife.
Move. This is the new move, guys.
Jeans and a polo.
Jeans and a polo every night to bed.
You could just wear your work clothes to bed. Wake up and go right to work.
No, I hate that t-shirt. I hate my work t-shirt.
Oh, there's a special Marriott t-shirt?
It's like it is like company issued, but it doesn't say Marriott on it. It's like this button up t-shirt that is like checkered.
Button up t-shirt.
It's a button up t-shirt?
Or shit, no, sorry. it's like a button up long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, okay.
And it doesn't say Marriott on it. Like I have a little name tag that says Chris, but I mean, otherwise, it's just like a regular t-shirt, but it looks weird. Like, it has like an odd checkered. You know, remember those shorts people used to get in like middle school and high school that were like those patterned squares, but they weren't flannel?
Like plaid?
Plaid, yeah. It's a basic, kind of like a plaid shirt, except worse.
Ugh. Sounds terrible.
It is terrible. I don't like that shirt. I wear it, you know? This is what they want me to wear, but
I wear work shirts that don't even have my name on. They have someone else's name.
What?
I wear shirts from a guy named Ivan.
Did they just run out of new shirts?
No, he got long sleeve ones, and I didn't. So I was like, he got done. I was like, I wouldn't mind having some long sleeve shirts, so I took his.
Are they like stitched? Like stitched into the shirt, like a little name patch?
Yeah, so some days when it's really cold, I'll wear shirts that say Ivan on them.
That's awesome.
And those days, I feel like I can do whatever I want, because they're going to call and get mad at someone named Ivan, and he doesn't work there.
Can you fire people?
I can't fire anyone. I'd fire everyone if I could.
So somebody can come to you and they can quit, though?
No.
No?
I mean, they can tell me they quit. What am I going to do about it?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, like, are you the person they should be telling that they quit if they want to quit?
The fuck do I care? They should tell the manager.
What? You're the GM, I thought.
No, I'm not the GM. That requires actual skills and the will to work.
Anyway, that's good. Sleeping.
Now, if this was Giffords, that'd be a different story. I would be the person you'd have to come to and say that you quit.
I was about to say, I feel like you held a position where you could have that.
I'm always holding positions.
I don't know how. Like, I genuinely don't know how.
You've never been a manager, and I've been a manager 3 times?
I've never been a manager. I've never like, gone for a manager position.
I've never gone for one either. They've just been given to me.
That's not true. You went for this one.
No, I didn't.
You didn't apply?
I didn't apply for it.
Fuck you, you didn't apply.
I didn't apply for it.
I don't believe you.
I was called into the office, and they asked if something I'd be interested in, and I said, sure, and they said, well, we'll see where it goes.
I don't understand why you. Like, why you?
I'm a dependable individual.
You're not, though, dude. Like,
I show up to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Late.
I don't fall out. I may be late, but at least I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm the most dependable person in that store.
I mean, you're... Okay. In that store, maybe. But, like, you're not the most dependable person.
I would argue that I am.
No. You're not the most dependable person on this podcast.
I would argue that I am the most dependable person, and I can take a punch from Brock Lesnar.
Oh my god.
Those are the two claims that I'll make.
Either one has never been confirmed.
Hit Brock Lesnar on direct message on Twitter. See if he'll fly here and punch me in the face.
My friend says he can take a punch from you. I just want to know if it's true. Would you mind coming to Bangor for a bit? fucking way.
I bet he would. What else is he doing?
That's true. I mean, I feel like his work is pretty hindered right now, so he might be bored. So we have that kind of work in our favor.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind punching a 24-year-old. I'll do it.
I mean, you're over 18. Nothing can happen to him. You're consenting.
What if I didn't?
You are, though. You have physical evidence right here, yeah, right now, that you are consenting.
I could destroy this tape.
All right, well, you guys want to talk some Wonder Woman here?
I wanted to talk New Year's resolutions. What you guys got?
New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
I guess I need to try to start writing more. So, Zach inspired me to try to write one short story a week every week.
Nice.
I'm limiting myself to 2 hours of screen time a day.
How's that going?
Did that include your phone?
No.
Okay, then it's not 2 hours of screen time a day.
I can watch one movie or 2 hours of television a day. That's it.
That's still 14 hours a week.
That's probably way less than I am now.
Yeah, me too.
I also want to read more. Chris, do you have a reading resolution this year?
I set my goal at 35 books. I crushed my goal last year.
What was your goal last year?
20.
Oh, okay. What'd you get this year? What, last year?
35. That's why I set 35 this year.
Oh, okay. I don't have a reading goal. I just want to read more, but I didn't set like a specific number. I guess.
Oh, not 52? You're not going to start with 52?
No, I'm not going to start with 52. Start with one. Like, that seems like a good thing. I read like 4 books last year, so like I still read something, but like.
It's more than 60% of Americans.
Yeah, so I'm doing okay. But like, my list turned into like just like a bucket list. Like, I want to, and this was all like saying COVID was done after a certain point.
And okay, like, well, it's
not. And things went back to normal. I know, but like, I'm crossing my fingers it does. One of the things that I said I wanted to do was go to a concert at random with no background of who the band is.
Okay, but that's not a resolution.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It was like a bucket list item, you know?
Man, you need to come out to Boulder.
Why?
Well, there's like 2 theaters and just like bands play there used to play there just all the time. And we've been to a couple of kids, had no idea who they were, but we had free tickets. We just showed up and checked them out.
Dude, maybe you'll get to catch a Wade show.
I'd love to go for 303.
I've not seen 303 play.
That's a bummer.
That really is depressing.
I was hoping they would still be, like, rip-roaring and ready to go at any moment.
I don't think so. I mean, they could be touring down in the Denver area, just not near me.
They're still not – they're not that big, okay? They're not Denver big.
I mean, they're from here, so I would imagine they'd play down in Denver area.
Yeah, but they're from Boulder, aren't they?
Yeah, but
he's a punk bitch if you don't know about Boulder.
Well, they should they should be playing in Boulder then. Fuck, dude. Come on, get on that.
Nothing I've seen. Maybe on their like 10-year anniversary or something like that of that 303 album, they'll come back.
Oh, dude, it's older than 10 years.
I was about to
Is
say.
It really? Oh, shit. No. I didn't think it was that old.
Dude, you gotta do the Helen Keller and talk with your hips.
I didn't say that can't be PC, okay?
Why not, dude? She's long gone.
Does it make a difference?
There's like creative license on that. She's what, died in 1800s? Who cares?
The Holocaust ended in like.
That's a little bit different, Chris.
It's the same principle.
That's a little bit different.
Okay, all I'm saying is
mass tragedy, one individual.
Yeah. That doesn't matter though. It's still like a.
You always, in your comparisons, take things to the utmost extreme.
I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's this, it's like, okay, fine. It's not the same thing. It's not. But at the same time, it's like following the same rules.
It is a global tragedy versus one individual who happened to be in a semi-funny situation their whole life.
Okay, but you're referring to it as a semi-funny situation.
In a little bit humorous debacle for her entire life, which she overcame. So good for her.
Yeah, no, good for her for overcoming it, but, like, to a lot of people, it may not be a funny thing.
What's not humorous about that?
Somebody not being able to talk to anybody ever or listen to anybody ever?
Deaf, blind, and
like mute.
That's not, or see
that's
anybody
not humorous?
Ever? Oh my fucking gosh, dude.
No right, way. Dude, well, that's not funny, then lock me up right now.
Was she born that way?
Yeah, yes.
Huh? It wasn't like an unfortunate set of circumstances that made her to become blind and deaf and...
One incident caused all three.
That's what I'm saying, is... At that point, maybe I would say that's a lot happening at once.
Well, I'm just saying, like, what shit luck that you got the triple whammy? That's why it's slightly humorous. You want me to call it the fucking hat trick?
That's terrible.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Nobody could have done anything to change any of this.
Exactly.
Stuff. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason was. Like, whether it was, like, genetics or if they lived near a sewage treatment plant, I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Do you have a biography? Maybe I'll read that this year.
I'm pretty sure she probably has multiple.
I'm sure there's multiple biographies on Helen Keller.
That's one thing I don't understand. Is you think one would be enough, right?
You would think.
Like, how many different ways can you tell the story of one person's life? Things only happened in one way.
Oh, boy. Every story has two sides, Chris.
Not when it's happening to one person.
I like how Zach said she died in the 1800s, but she lived to 1968.
No, that's not true. She died in the 1800s.
Different Helen Keller.
Oh, yeah, that one didn't have the triple whammy. Whammy!
That's all I can think of when you said that.
You know what they call Bat, Chris? Chicken of the Cave.
Not saying on Google she died in 1968.
Oh, shit. 68. So she wasn't born. She was not born that way. At 19 months old, she contracted an unknown illness. And that illness left her deaf and blind.
At 19 months?
At 19 months old, yeah. It could have possibly have been scarlet fever or meningitis.
Got all three.
Yep.
That sucks.
There you go. There you go.
Not really a looker, is she?
I just want to know how she, like, overcame that, dude. Like, that
you're out to read the biography.
I fucking
can't. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, look it up, man.
Fuck, I gotta read the biography. That's my resolution this year, to read a Helen Keller biography.
You listen to the audiobook while you're driving around.
Nah. I need to force myself to read more.
It is a form of reading.
No, it's not.
Why isn't it?
That's listening. Reading is an activity.
You're digesting written material.
No, but it's not written material. It's just material at that point. Listening to a song, it's like the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It is exactly the same thing.
How many songs do you listen to where you're just kind of tuning out and you're not really listening to what's being said?
A lot.
Exactly. I don't think that happens if you listen to audiobooks.
You're
constantly engaged with it.
I'm not saying you don't listen differently. All I'm saying is that I feel like it's a different... I feel like it's different than actively reading. Like, reading is the activity of getting something that is written and then going over it to try and take in that information, whereas listening is not reading. Reading involves sight.
So Wonder Woman 1984.
So Wonder Woman 1984, directed by Patty Jenkins, stars Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, Pedro Pascal. And the plot synopsis is, rewind to the 1980s as Wonder Woman's next big screen adventure finds her facing two all-new foes, Max Lord and the Cheetah. Okay, that's kind of a simple plot synopsis. What did you guys think of Wonder Woman 1984?
Why are we rewinding to the 80s? The first one took place in the 40s.
Good point. Maybe no earlier than that. I think it was in the 20s. I think like 60-something years has passed.
We're progressing naturally through time.
I don't know, man.
I thought Wonder Woman 84 was disappointing.
I didn't really have high expectations for it, so
I really like Wonder Woman.
I couldn't be disappointed.
I liked the first one. I thought this one was... I don't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was good.
I didn't think it was good.
I don't think it does anything different. Like, at all.
I don't even think it lives up to the standards that the first one brought across you.
I think you could take out Gal Gadot and put any generic superhero in there, and it's the same movie.
Gal Gadot, first off, I want to address that. That's what I said. You know, is it Gal Gadot?
Yeah.
All right, I thought it was Gal Gadot.
So I don't really understand what distinguishes this as a Wonder Woman movie, where it just feels like a very generic superhero movie. It does nothing to differentiate itself. And then it beats the 80s so over the head that I'm so sick of it by the end of the movie.
The 80s are hot right now and also getting old.
I like Kristen Wiig. She was good.
I think my biggest problem with... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
That was like my big problem. I had a couple kind of, I wouldn't say big problems, but like Kristen Wiig was my big problem. It was just, I don't know. I just have a hard time taking her seriously. Seeing her do so much stuff that's so like over the top comedic and then throwing her into a role where there is no comedy involved with her role at all was a very kind of shocking thing to see, where I didn't find it to be a pleasant experience.
I didn't mind Kristen Wiig. I didn't really mind. I didn't really have a problem with anybody in it. My biggest problem was more of, I think like the sort of like the MacGuffin of superhero movies just sort of gets old, and this one especially is not that interesting. Like the idea of, I think the idea of a dream, like a wish fulfilling stone, could be interesting, but the problem is that you open up so many cans of worms. I think it's hard to be satisfying. Like as soon as they opened up like that there was some sort of wish stone, it was like, okay, so obviously the bad guy's gonna get a hold of this, and obviously they're going to figure out how to stop that person. And I'm not sure at any point along the way is it going to be satisfying, like how it all concludes. And I was correct in that.
I don't know. I liked the general concept of you wish for something, you get it, but you have to sacrifice something. That was cool.
My whole theory on this is that Pedro Pascal's son saved the day.
I think his character is completely useless.
It is, but in the way that it unfolded, Pedro Pascal's son saved the day because he said, I wish you were here. So then the stone granted him his wish.
But I don't think it did, though.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though, is that like every single wish has to be granted by the stone. Every single singular wish has to be granted by the stone. And the son said, I wish you were here. So then it was the kid who brought on or started the events that transpired, causing things to go back to normal.
is it that way? I don't know. I guess that's where it kind of gets sort of muddled. And then sort of the rules of because it seems to set it up that you only get one wish, right, from the stone?
Yeah.
But then it seems like Kristen Wiig gets – or Barbara Minerva gets two wishes in it. And same thing with the sun. Gets two wishes.
Well, and what was the sun's first wish?
Yeah, I thought there was something where, like, he was going to wish for something, and then his dad was like, no, you can't wish for something like that. You got to wish for this. And then I thought his son said something. And then Max Lord, like, you know, takes that wish and does – it's like something happened. I could have swore that happened, but maybe not. But I know for a fact that Barbara Minerva got two wishes.
Yeah, yeah, she got, like, to be Gal Gadot, and then she got transformed into some
– Yeah, she wished to be an apex predator.
Yeah.
So she turned into the cheetah.
So she got two wishes.
I honestly think that this movie is far more interesting without the Max Lord character. If this is literally just like a look at Barbara Minerva becoming cheetah, that's way more interesting than...
I'm not even sure if that's interesting.
Whatever it's Max just like Lord's weird convoluted plan to take over the world is.
I mean, I'm okay with his character. I just... They tried to do something with, like, what was her name? Kristen Wiig's character?
Barbara Minerva?
Yeah, they tried to do something like a Barbara Minerva-esque kind of thing before in Spider-Man with, like, Jamie Foxx with, like, the Electro character.
I don't know, yeah. Like...
And it was kind of, like, a very similar plot to what this one turned out to be, and both of them kind of sucked, so...
I liked Kristen Wiig, and I liked... the idea of her character in the cheetah. I think because you have all this Pedro Pascal stuff in there, you don't have time. It's a 2.5 hour movie to begin with, and you don't have time to develop three characters, essentially.
Yeah. I thought what really honestly could have been the most interesting, and the one that they fumbled the hardest, was the idea of Wonder Woman getting back the love of her life, but then losing... like slightly losing her powers, and then like the struggle of that. Like, that seemed way more interesting to me than anything else, and that was like the least, like, shit that had like the least attention to it.
She seemed not that shocked, like not as shocked as I would expect somebody would be if their loved one came back to life. Like he did that whole like put the watch in her hand thing, and then she was just like, all I can see is you. And then, like, that was it.
Nailed it. Crushed that delivery.
I know. I was less worried about that.
I don't know. It just missed the mark. Basically across the board.
I love the opening. I really
hated that.
That whatever that triathlon thing was. But I was a little disappointed that they literally just set that entire sequence up only to get the line in there that says no true hero was born out of cheating or something like that.
And it wasn't even like an impactful moment when they brought it back.
Yeah, it's kind of like, wait, what? That's what that scene for? Line. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
She didn't even cheat. She just outsmarted them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think like a huge kind of a disappointment was – like, I think it, like, you have a villain who's turned themselves into, like, someone that can grant wishes, right? Like, I feel like you could do so many more interesting things than that than, like, setting up racist barriers and, like, giving the world nukes. Like, there's so many more interesting things you could do with that.
This is true.
You know what my biggest problem was now that I think about it? There was literally no importance to the armor at all.
Wonder Woman's armor?
Yeah.
Well, her armor is completely impractical.
Well, whether it's impractical or not, it's just like they introduced this character in the beginning that was the greatest warrior of the Amazons, and then they show the armor, like a peek at the armor at one point, and then all of a sudden she's wearing it. Like, she didn't really have to go through anything to get that armor, so there's really no – and she didn't – there was no conflict to her putting the armor on.
So did she get that armor in the first Wonder Woman?
No. It just showed up, is what I'm saying.
Oh, weird.
Oh, it just seemed like a very out of the place tool to use that ended up serving no purpose in the end.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. There was definitely a lot of weird tonal things going on in the movie. Like, I guess, like, you know, this was there's the opening, and then there's the scene in the mall, which kind of had, like, a very cheesy, like, when I was watching it, I was thinking, I was like, okay, it's Wonder Woman 1984. They're kind of harkening back to, like, 80s superhero movies. So it's kind of got, like, that campiness to it. So, like, I thought they were going to carry that tone throughout the movie. And then they kind of get away from that. Actually, they definitely get away from that. And then try to make it more serious.
Stupid.
Yeah, which didn't exactly work for me.
Like Zach said earlier, everything just kind of seemed off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like when you have things like wish fulfillment stuff, like you're just getting into a can of worms. Like the whole thing I was thinking, I was like, he sees his son is in trouble, but you can grant wishes, so why not just have like influence somebody to wish that your son is okay? Problem solved.
But the problem is that we've seen what, probably 30 superhero movies in the last 10 years. And it's like, we know the structure. We know exactly how it's going to go. And if you're not doing anything to deviate from that, it's just going to be boring.
Yep.
And this movie doesn't do anything to deviate from that. It just goes, it just follows that same trajectory.
And I can't even really think of anything that's been overly creative. Like, I think Into the Spider-Verse was kind of creative. I mean, it still kind of followed that basic formula, but I thought there was some more...
Most incorrect movie that's ever been made.
I think it was pretty interesting with other things.
For me, I would say the last superhero movie that I truly enjoyed was probably Ragnarok.
No... Infinity War. I enjoyed Infinity War. Wasn't a big fan of Endgame, but enjoyed Infinity War.
Yeah, I didn't think Infinity War was bad. I liked Ragnarok. I guess those. Oh no, I guess the stakes are just a little bit higher in those ones, or I guess in Ragnarok there really aren't a lot of stakes. But it's like a little bit different, a little bit of a deviation, a little more funny. So you've got that going for it. There's kind of some stakes being laid out in Endgame or Infinity War. And this, like, I guess I never really felt the weight of anything.
Not really.
Disassociated from the entire plot for
like half it sucks. Of the movie. It sucks that there's like the one scene where Barbara says, I want to be an apex predator. Then the next time you see her, she is that predator. And then she loses a fight to Wonder Woman. And like, that's kind of it. So I'm not really sure why they wanted to introduce two villains.
They had to have been setting them up for like a second movie or something.
Yeah, they should. But both of them are like, you know, they run their course in this. I don't know. I wish they would have just picked one and then just done that really well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the ending for Max Lord's character is kind of ridiculous, because it's like, we've just seen this guy do some terrible, shady things, but like now we're supposed to believe that he's redeemed himself? I'm like, I don't think so.
He's his kid now, he's going to spend more time at home. He's a good person.
Yeah, he's totally not going to go to jail for influencing the president to want more nukes.
Yeah. Or just sort of theft. You fucking stole that stone, bro.
Mm. That's true, dude. I didn't think about that.
Should have fucking stole it.
Oh, dude, Barbara's definitely getting fired from that job.
Yeah, she's donezo. She's also dead.
She's not dead. Inside.
She didn't get fucking electrocuted?
No, she was alive in the end.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she was like the only one on the entire planet, might I add, that didn't renounce her wish. Kind of crazy that everybody on the planet renounced their wish except for one person.
Oh, that's another villain. That's another thing. So if you've got the entire world cashing in on wishes, like, wouldn't you think it would, like, things would sort of balance out? Like, it just seems like everything is spiraling into chaos, but it's like nobody would wish for, like, I wish for, like, peace. Or, like, I wish for, like, this other good thing to happen. Like, you don't think, like, things would balance out?
No.
I don't think they would. I think it would still remain in chaos. But, like, that guy who was like, I wish to be king. You can't tell me that that guy, or at least, like, some guy who wished that would be like, you know, fuck you, Wonder Woman. I want to be king. And then just... not renounce his wish. I feel like
I also don't really understand the whole thing about how, like, Max Lord can get someone to make a wish, but then all of a sudden he's like, okay, cool. Now I'm going to take this from you. Thank you very much. I don't get how that's a thing. So he just gets, like, to decide, like, what your, like, what you lose. I mean, he is the stone, so maybe he is the stone, I suppose. So maybe it, maybe that's how that checks out. But I don't understand how he would now all of a sudden, like, know that that's what that was and how that he was gonna influence things. I know there's so many questions when you open up things like that. So this is a can of worms.
Makes no sense.
I did kind of enjoy the sequence, though, where they're chasing down Max Lord and they're, like, she's, like, jumping from, like, truck to truck and all that. When I like that action sequence.
I like the, I guess the fight between them is pretty good.
White House or at the...
No. Like, the cheetah and Wonder Woman fight.
Oh, okay.
Like, the snowy landscape or whatever.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Other than that, there isn't much action, like, in the movie at all.
Yeah, no. I did like the opening bit. When that first came out, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. I could be down for this.
It's kind of like a 2.5-hour snooze fest.
If they did something with that intro, I would have felt that it was validated, but nothing comes out of it.
I don't know. Maybe this was just me, like, seeing a trailer and I just made this up, but I thought there was going to be way more, like, exploring into Diana's backstory on, like her growing up or whatever on that island.
Well, you got 2 movies to go. You might learn something.
What?
They have plans for a 3rd and a 4th.
Oh, really? I saw they were doing work. They were going to work on the 3rd. I didn't realize they had another one lined up after that.
They have another Justice League confirmed?
I hope so.
If so, is Ben Affleck returning, or does Robert Pattinson take over?
No, the Robert Pattinson Batman's completely separate.
Cool. Yeah. Are you guys excited for the Snyder Cut?
Yes, I'll watch it.
I mean, I'll watch it, but it's not anything that I'm excited for. I wouldn't say that.
I haven't even seen the Justice League, so I'm wondering if I should watch that to then watch the Snyder Cut, or just say... fuck it, and then just watch the Snyder Cut.
I'm kind of just done with DC. I mean, it's just like, what? Aquaman was terrible.
Aquaman's not terrible.
Aquaman was horrible.
No.
I kind of had fun with it.
I didn't. I wasn't a fan. No,
you don't even like fun.
I wasn't a fan of Batman versus Superman.
Fuck right off.
I wasn't.
You don't like fun, Chris? Great band.
I like fun. It's just like...
great band.
I wasn't a fan of Superman, the movie.
Man of Steel?
I shouldn't say that. I kind of enjoyed that.
Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeves?
Yeah. No, Superman wasn't bad now that I think about it, but like...
yeah, but I guess you brought up a good point. I guess you brought up a good point earlier that I guess there's nothing... in this movie that really makes it say, like, okay, that was a Wonder Woman movie versus, like, a Batman movie or an Aquaman movie or something.
just a blob of studio trying to make money.
Yeah, other than, like, literally seeing Wonder Woman or, you know, just knowing the villains that she fights, like, you're right. Like, there's really nothing that really stands out to me. So what's the third one? Are they going to fast forward now to modern day?
I think so.
Cheetah returns.
Rewind to 2018.
Cheetah is causing the COVID outbreak.
I don't know. I will say I am glad that I could just watch this at home on HBO and not have to go to the theaters.
I would have hated to have seen this in theaters.
Yeah.
That would have been a disappointment. So I am happy for that. But, yeah, overall, I guess, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, a giant turd, like a lot of the internet is saying, but I'm certainly not going to step up to its defense and say that it's great by any means.
Is this because you're a sexist pig?
Maybe that's why it is. Maybe.
Ultimately, in this movie, I still like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Sure. Yeah, they just need to, like, I guess just give it a little bit more voice or whatever.
Yeah. That would have done a lot better.
Yeah. Yep. I guess I'll probably end up watching the third, but whenever it comes out, but I guess I've got my expectations seem to dip. I definitely think I like the first Wonder Woman way more.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
I'll get into what I thought during what I watched this week.
Cool. I guess I don't really have a lot else to say about Wonder Woman 1984. How about you guys?
Nope.
What would you give it out of 5 stars?
2.5.
What are you, Chris?
Me.
I guess I'll go 3. That's what I'm going to say. All right, let's move on and talk about, I guess, some other things that we watched. Chris?
I watched... Fuck. Oh, fuck, I was going to start there. I watched Wonder Woman, the first one, before I watched Wonder Woman 84. So much better. It's so much better. Like, leagues better. Like, Justice Leagues better.
It's like the Snyder. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I really like her being placed in that specific time period during World War One. I like the idea of the villain you're set out to be after being kind of a false bottom to then get to the real villain, which is Ares. I like the idea of bringing it into a Greek mythology, which is more about her story than, I guess, about the filmmaking itself. I don't know. I really liked the chemistry between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot. And I thought the whole, even the score total, I thought the whole thing was just a very complete package. I wouldn't say it was the best movie that I've seen.
But it's the second best.
Yeah, easily. I wouldn't say it's the best superhero movie I've seen, but it's probably up there in the conversation of, like, top 10, maybe, top 5, probably. Top 5, definitely.
Top 5, better a lot.
I really enjoyed how they sort of, like, reined in Wonder Woman and, like, kind of, like, slowly built it up. And then when you get to, like, that scene in the trenches and then she really, like, unleashes her power, like, you really get to see, like, Wonder Woman being Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really cool.
I thought the character development was nice because, like, you see these, like, superhero movies, origin stories about these people that are just, like, born a fucking superhero with those ideals and shit. But, like, she has to come to the realization of what the world really is and develop into the Wonder Woman that she is throughout the movie, instead of it being like she has this moral compass of a realistic moral compass of good and evil from fucking birth, because the Amazonian people are just perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really cool thing to do. And that's about that.
Zach, did you watch anything?
I got nothing.
I can mention I watched a movie from 2020 called Jiu-Jitsu. And its most notable actor is Nicolas Cage.
Fucking right.
And if you go to Letterboxd, the average star rating for this is a 1.7. And I'm here to tell the Letterboxd community that you guys are crazy. It is nowhere near that bad. It's not amazing by any stretch of the imagination, but it is not that bad either.
Oh.
And, okay, let me tell you this. Let me tell you the plot synopsis, okay? So, essentially, okay, so it's about, like, these group of fighters that have to take on this alien. Because what happened was, thousands of years ago, this alien that they call Brax came to Earth via this portal that opens up when a comet flies over Earth. And this alien taught our ancient ancestors jiu-jitsu. Because the alien wants some competition, right? He wants some fresh meat. So he teaches our ancestors jiu-jitsu, and he would come back every 6 years when the portal opens, and he'd keep training them. And then eventually, like he did, he took them on for real. So you flash forward to the present, whenever this takes place. And basically what happens is, every 6 years, this comet flies over Earth and opens up this portal where this alien comes through. And he demands to fight nine warriors. And if he deems that they fight honorably, he'll go back to his home planet and come back again 6 years later and do the whole thing over again. But if he decides that anybody fights with dishonor, then he'll wipe out Earth, essentially. And all you need to know is that Nicolas Cage does jiu-jitsu fight and fights with a katana against an alien. That's all I'm going to say.
This sounds fucking awful. 1.7 sounds like an appropriate rating for this movie.
It's not. It's not. People are ridiculous. There is this,
Nicolas really Cage doing the jiu-jitsu himself, or is it,
No, it's... They cut away to, show, a little bit further back. So it's obviously a stunt double.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Nicolas Cage himself did the jiu-jitsu, I might be in.
But it's pretty... There's this, really interesting... So I will say it's, I guess it's kind of ambitious in that, the director's kind of taking some risks and kind of trying to spice it up a little bit, which I admire and I applaud. There's this one scene in the beginning where this jiu-jitsu guy breaks into this camp to break out the main character. And so as they're fighting their way out of this camp, so you're following behind one of the characters, right? So you're so we're just falling behind this guy as he's fighting. And then someone, the guy gets knocked back into the camera, and then you realize that you haven't been, you've been following this person, but in the first-person perspective of, one of the other characters. So it's almost like a hardcore Henry type thing, where you're, seeing some action, the camera's, mounted on the guy's chest, and you're kind of seeing, first-person. And then they get, knocked onto the ground, right? So then you're thinking, oh, okay, we're going to see this perspective of this guy on the ground. But then that character steps into the camera and is fighting. So then it's we've really switched perspective. So now we're just third person perspective from the camera on the ground. And then through the scene, it's I thought it was kind of creative, going back and forth between being third person and then into first person.
Yeah.
Which I had never seen that before. So I was like, I mean, hey, kudos to this guy. I'll applaud you. You know, doing something a little bit different.
But then you don't have Nick Cage doing jiu-jitsu, so you kind of lose me, so.
But then there's But then fast forward to Nicolas Cage doing jiu-jitsu and being crazy Nicolas Cage, and then it's amazing.
I guess I'm just going to have to give this movie a watch to see how
it's kind of like, honestly, if you took The Predator, like The Matrix, 47 Ronin, and there's another one that was probably, I would probably say is in there, like maybe Ip Man, and you boiled it all down, you get jiu-jitsu.
Shit. Sounds not bad.
Yeah, the alien is definitely inspired by The Predator, because it has, like, it's set in the jungle, and he's got, like, a cloaking technology that, like, makes him invisible.
Who does he talk to? Like, when he says, like, give me six fighters or I'm going to destroy this planet.
Who does he what? The alien never speaks.
Then how do they know? Oh, is it just, like, a repetitive thing?
I guess just one of those things. They've just been doing it long enough. They know how it works now.
Alright.
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu. Fucking check it out.
I'm looking at the images of it right now. Nicolas Cage with long hair.
Yeah. Like greasy long hair.
It's real?
Yeah, I think it's a documentary.
No. I like the hair. You think the hair is real?
Oh, yeah. It looks real. He got long hair for Con Air, so.
Let me see this.
So, come on. I remember when I used to work at Hertz, we tried to convince this guy that National Treasure was a documentary.
Did it work?
It was based on a true story.
It is, dude.
And we were, I gotta say, so close to convincing him.
What else did you watch, Chris?
I watched probably, and I don't say this lightly, one of the biggest comfort movies that I personally have. I watched The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Okay, nice.
And it's dynamite, dude. I don't know what it is about it. I really like Sean Penn in this movie, even though he's in it for, like, 5 minutes. But I really friggin' like it. I like Ben Stiller's journey from being this kind of lonely, boring person to, you know, jumping into shark-infested waters and then climbing the Himalayas to go see a snow leopard. Like, I think it's just a great progression. I like the story. I think it's super interesting. And I like Kristen Wiig in this.
Oh, I didn't realize Kristen Wiig was in it.
Heck yeah, dude. Give it a watch sometime, dude.
Is this a Wiigathon?
Heck yeah, it is. Just give it a try. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's all right.
You ever seen it, Jake?
No.
Give it a watch.
I might not.
We'll buy Birds of Prey on 4K. Won't even give Secret Life of Walter Mitty a second of his time.
If the Secret Life of Walter Mitty is on Blu-ray for $4.99 or 4K for $7.99, then fine, I'll buy it.
I'll do a Google search and I'll send it your way.
Fine, I'll look it up. The only other thing that I watched this week is a horror film that came out earlier this year. I think her name is Niasa Hardiman. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's called Sea Fever. It's currently on Hulu right now. And it's about this, I think she's like a biology major, or like, she's basically about this student who she studies like behavioral patterns in nature. And so she like goes out on this fishing boat, just to kind of like look for any anomalies in the fish, like the fish that they're catching. You know, I think it's just sort of like grad student work, and this is just what she got stuck with. And so, like, while they're out, they go over this like area in the ocean that they're not supposed, essentially the Coast Guard has said, like, hey, don't go over this area, but the captain says fuck it and goes over anyways. and they mysteriously become like stuck. They don't know what's going on. And then when they dive down into the water to see what's going on, they're like being held by this giant sea creature that's got like these tentacles that are like latched onto the boat. And no one really knows what it is. They have no idea what's going on. And then sort of miraculously they're let go, but the sea creature is like sort of released like this toxin that gets into the water and it sort of drives people crazy. And yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's some pretty gruesome deaths that happen. Yeah. A person's eyeballs explode.
Cool.
Which is pretty interesting. And there's definitely a lot of comparisons, I would say, like the COVID-19 pandemic. Like at one point they're talking about like trying to quarantine themselves, and a lot of people are like, no, like I've been on this boat for so long and I'm gonna get off this boat no matter what. You can't tell me to stay on this thing. Like, I don't care if I spread it to thousands of people. But yeah, it's only like 90 minutes, so it's a pretty easy watch. I thought it was pretty entertaining at the very least. Towards the end it kind of started to peter out for me a little bit. Didn't exactly stick the landing, but I thought like the overall mystery of it was pretty interesting and like intriguing leading throughout it. And then yeah, it's not a bad watch. It's on Hulu right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought like the main actor in it, I don't know who, I've never seen her before, but I thought she was really good. There's a couple kind of like creepy scenes, and it's pretty, and it's all just set, all the whole thing is just set on a boat too. So if you're into single location films, this is, hey, no, check it out.
I'm into boats.
If you're into boats, if you're into single location boat movies, check out this one and All Is Lost. That's the other one for you.
I was about to say, it's the only other one I could think of.
And The Perfect Storm.
Oh, yeah, Perfect Storm.
Life is Pie, kind of.
But that movie's a turd.
We'll talk about that a different time. Jason. Anyways, I only have one other thing to watch. I watched Before Sunrise.
Nice. Ooh.
Dynamite. I gotta say, I watched it. I freaking love that movie, dude. The
third best one.
Oh, wait. First one is Before Sunrise.
Sunrise.
The third best one.
You said that's the one you watched, right?
Well, for the first one, Before Sunrise.
Yeah, third best one.
You can fuck right off. It's the best one, and I feel as if there should not be in debate, but, you know, I can't tell you guys to not feel what you feel.
It is the best one if the other two don't come out.
I think that I would understand why somebody would say the third one is the best, but how anybody would have the audacity to say that Before Sunset is better than Before Sunrise is beyond me.
Well, I'm here to say it.
You're a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
You're fucking up, bud.
You are?
Man, I gotta watch these so I can get in on these intense debates.
You're fucking 10-ply.
You just let that one fucking marinate.
Let that one fucking marinate. Oh, man.
Chris, would you say all three of those movies would be in your top 100 somewhere?
No. The second one won't be. The first two, yes. Or the first one and the third one, yes, but not the second
Interesting.
One. Interesting. I'm not saying it's bad. Like, it's not bad. I enjoy it. It's just like, it's like comparing fucking, I don't know, lobster and filet mignon to like a bowl of cottage cheese. Like, I still enjoy cottage cheese, but like,
yo, I'm picking a bowl of cottage cheese every time.
You fucking idiot.
Like, I'm still gonna enjoy the cottage cheese, but like, if I had given the option between that and lobster, I'm gonna pick lobster 10 times out of 10, you know?
Okay, sure. Did you get anything out of this viewing that you hadn't before?
Not really.
Just a nice, warm, feel-good movie?
It is. Like, it's just such a grand idea of, like, meeting somebody by chance.
spending an entire day with them and having it be so good that, like, you're like, let's meet back here in a year. You know, from one day. Like, it's such a cool idea.
Man, I really gotta watch these.
Even, like, I don't want you to go into it with, like, I guess I want you to go into it with high expectations, but I don't want you to go into it with the idea of watching it for any purpose other than, I'm just going to watch this movie for fun.
That's how I do most of my movies. It's for
fun.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, is that, like, I don't want you to go and be like, I'm going to watch Before Sunset or Before Sunrise because of, you know... Zach and Chris wanted to watch this movie. Like, do take your own time, do it at your own pace, and you'll enjoy it so much more.
Okay, sounds good. Zach, you got nothing you want to mention?
Nothing.
Chris, anything else for you?
I'm done.
All right. Next week, so we're not going to do any review next week. We're just going to do our top 10 of the year.
I can't honestly think of anything to review.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do our top 10 next year or next week.
We can review Sleeping in the Nude if you guys really want to.
We can talk about some more.
I'm gonna make a movie called Sleeping in the Nude.
I hope it's literally just you sleeping in the nude.
I should probably videotape myself sleeping though. I'd like to know how much I move around in the night.
That's a good idea. Put a GoPro on.
That's a good idea. All right. Well, as always. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. Here are our top 10 movies of 2020. I can't wait to see what Chris has on his list.
Movies of 2020.
And until next week, stay safe. Bye-bye.
If you won the lottery, would you still go to work?
Well, it depends on how much I won.
Let's say you won...
$1 million.
Let's say whatever the Powerball is right now, like 6 million.
Powerball is more than that. Powerball was like 308 million last I saw.
All right, let's say you won $308 million. Would you still go to work?
Well, half of that is going to be taxed. So realistically, I'm getting like 150.
You get 160.
160. I would quit work for a while. And then I would probably not work for like 3 years. And then I would just get a bum job. Like, I would get, like, a job.
Like, work at the Marriott?
I would not. No, dude. I would probably, like, I would invest a shit ton of my money, and then I would not go to work. And then when I went back to work, I would probably go get a job at, like, but I'd probably get a job at Hertz around a car again.
So you're only insured $250,000 at a bank. So I would withdraw as much as I could, right?
Hold on. Is that per person or is that per bank?
What do you mean?
Could you have $250,000 in like 12 different banks and have it all be insured?
Accounts. Each account is only insured up to $250,000.
So you could just have like a bunch of different accounts with $250,000 on it?
It would all be backed. That's correct.
Okay.
Basically, you don't want to keep that money in the bank because... You're only insured up to $50,000, so I would slowly withdraw it and bury it in the backyard.
That's a good. It's like $160 million.
And then I would live on that, and then I would have a pizza driver job. You know?
Yeah.
Something part-time, 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
I would deliver pizzas.
I would probably try and I would still pursue my degree in college, but like completely stress-free. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't.
Like, knowing that no matter what happens, I have no debt anyways. So, like, I could become an 8-year graduate.
I had this discussion the other day. Actually, I think I would buy a remote piece of land, put a cabin there, and I would move there. And no one would ever see me again. And I would life flight food in with a helicopter once a month. I'm a millionaire. I can pay them.
Yeah.
So that would be how I would live.
Dude, there's a show on Hulu you should watch about people who revamp cabins in the middle of the woods in Maine.
I've seen it.
You've seen it? Is it good?
It's pretty good.
All right, I've scrolled past it. I haven't actually watched it yet, though. Would you?
What? Keep working? If I had $150 million?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Well, like, because, like, the thing is that, like, I could see myself finding things to do for so long until eventually I got to a point where I'm like, there's nothing else that I can really want to do. So then I would just find myself wanting to work.
You hear this guy, dude? The money done changed him.
Would not work.
I might, like, pick up a hobby and then start, like, a business in that hobby. Knowing that if I fail, I still have $150 million to throw into it.
I would buy my own printing press.
Start your own newspaper.
And then, like, I would publish all my crackpot theories in, like, DIY printed paperbacks and just try to sell them on the streets. But it wouldn't matter if I sold any because I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would invest a bunch of it, so therefore, like, you're really, like, making way more. So there's your $250,000 insured. You just invest a bunch of it.
Nah.
Like, a majority of it.
Go to the casino.
That's
I'd go all to the casino nothing. A ton, yep.
All or nothing. $150 million on the table at once.
High risk, high reward.
Get 21.
Well, think about it, right? What do you really have to lose at that point? Nothing. Basically, you're betting
$50 million.
I mean, it is yours. Like that. Here's what. Because I remember I went to the casino with somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but I said, any money that you pull in, it's yours. Like, it is yours. You can convince yourself it's not if you want to gamble it, but it's yours. It's in your possession. You can cash it out. You can not cash it out. It's yours to do what you want with it. It is yours. I mean, feel free to, you know, fucking throw it on the table again, but, like...
Well, think about it, right?
There's a chance of you walking home with that.
So today you're working at Courtyard Marriott, right?
Yeah.
Well, today's your day off. Today you buy a Powerball ticket. Tomorrow you go to Courtyard Marriott. They announce the winner. You're the winner. Congratulations. You're going to get $160 million.
Gone. Right? Later, Marriott.
Take that money to the casino Thursday night and bet it all. And if you lose, what do? You wake up the next day and you go to the Courtyard Marriott as if nothing ever happened.
No, you can't.
There are choices I make before I tell anybody to fuck off. First things first, I'm waiting like a month before I do anything with that money. Like, there's no way I'm doing anything with it first day.
Also, you're on some really powerful drugs if you think that the casino in Bangor can match a $150 million bet.
I don't think any casino in the entire world could match a $150 million bet. No, maybe Vegas.
The Bellagio, you don't think they could match?
Mm-mm. I don't think they could do a
$150 million
bet.
Do you know what I'm doing with
$160
million? I'm probably going to go to Bull Moose first.
Buy one of everything.
Buy the nicest van possible.
Dude, I
buy that van on Facebook van. Swap and sell. I don't know, like, I don't really want a whole lot of stuff, so, like, I don't know what I'd do with $150 million. All I know is that I'm keeping it.
I want,
like,
a
I'm
lot
not
of
giving
stuff.
It to anybody.
I want stuff.
It's staying inside my account.
I would,
like,
rent out. I would buy a van, and I would rent out a storage unit for like the next 25 years, and I could just keep stuff there.
Yeah, I'm keeping it all in. I'm telling everybody I won the lottery after like that first month, and then I'm just not giving them a dime.
I'm getting a yacht and sailing around Pushaw Lake.
Pushaw? A 70-foot yacht going around.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm gonna go out to dinner at Applebee's and tip the waitress $160 million. Applebee's is gonna have to be good for that.
Oh my fucking god.
Dude, I'm going to Applebee's, ordering one of everything, and tipping 10%.
What would you do? What would Applebee's do if you tipped? Let's say you tipped $2,000, right? It is Applebee's responsibility to tip that out to the server.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's no way they have $2,000 cash sitting in the building.
I mean, no. Do they pay their tips out in cash, or is that
they're
how
supposed
works?
To tip out in cash.
Yeah, I don't know what they do in that scenario.
Like the YouTube Chad Ochocinco the other day was charging himself $100 for every minute he stayed late past closing time at this restaurant, and he ended up giving a $1,600 tip to this waitress or waiter. I don't know.
I would have. This sounds shitty, but like I would bet that like a company would look at that and be like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, like you're not getting that though. Sorry."
There's no way they can. They're like, aren't they legally obligated to do so?
If it has my signature on it, they're supposed to do it.
Yeah, because the money is therefore going towards the company for the sole purpose of paying to that employee.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they would have to do. That'd be cool if you could figure out what a company was worth and then tip someone that money. So therefore you literally bankrupted a company so that they had to tip out this person.
I feel like in order to do that, it'd have to be a family business. Like there's no way you could do that to a giant chain restaurant.
All right, Chase's restaurant. I just tipped your waitress $500,000.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, later, Chase's. Later,
like
Miguel.
Some family restaurant where the guy was a dick to you once. Just be like... Enjoy.
No, dude. The guy, the owner of Miguel's, has money in places he can't talk about.
Really?
Yeah, dude. That guy's a fucking bookie.
Seriously?
He's a legit bookie.
Oh, that's cool.
I need a bookie.
I don't need a bookie. I need the exact opposite of a bookie.
He's like a break your knees if you don't pay kind of bookie.
Yeah, I don't wanna.
Can I just go on Craigslist and get a bookie?
I'd start on Facebook Marketplace.
Bookie on Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, like miscellaneous ads.
If I'm being completely honest, I don't even know necessarily what a bookie is.
There's someone that you're going to pay money to make bets for you.
But why can't you just make the bets yourself?
You don't have access to the man who can make the bets, but it's all about access. The bookie's got access.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like if you don't want to, you got a ton of money to spend and you don't want to do all the work, you just go to your bookie and say, hey, here's $10,000, bet this, let me know what happens.
First off, there's no way I'm betting $10,000. Oh. If I'm in this scenario, again,
a 6-way parlay with the boss itself.
Yeah, yeah, I want Kevin Garnett points and
rebounds, tip off. If I'm still tied into this scenario, I could see myself going and betting $10,000 on one game, but there's no way you could convince me right now. Ever. Like, even if I was 99.999% sure that somebody was going to win, never would I bet $10,000 on a game.
If I had $160 million, I think the first thing I would try to do would be to convince a boxer to throw a fight.
You mean like a
Deontay Wilder? You're gonna throw that fight for $20 million, and I'm gonna bet against him, and I'm gonna win big.
So you pay him $20 million? Or you betting $20 million?
I mean, his contract is probably worth way more than $20 million.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because you know he's the greatest boxer ever.
Deontay Wilder. He's the greatest boxer ever. How come I've never heard of him?
Pretty close. How much boxing do you watch?
All I'm saying is that I've heard of Floyd Mayweather. I've heard of Muhammad Ali.
Different weight class.
I've heard of Joe Frazier.
Different weight class.
I've heard of Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's great. You're naming people that are in the same weight class.
I've heard of Patty O'Leary.
Okay, again, you're naming people that are in the
same. I just made that up. I didn't know if Patty O'Leary was a boxer or not.
The point that I'm making, all right, okay, let me rephrase it. Greatest heavyweight boxer of all time. He's better than Mike Tyson.
Seriously? I don't know anything about fighting, so I have to take your word on this.
He's probably better than Tyson.
What's his name? Gene Wilder?
Gene Wilder.
Nice.
I've seen Mike Tyson throw a punch, and it's hard to believe anybody beating that.
Oh!
Okay, the problem with that, it's the same problem with sports in general, like in the 80s, right? There's just such a different degree of athleticism that exists now that doesn't exist then.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why, like...
But, like, that's... Mike Tyson was the 90s, right?
Late 80s
into the 90s. Like, there was still a fair amount of athleticism then. It may be not, like... as fast as it is now, but there was still the same amount of power as there was then, as I would say there is now.
Like, when you look at the stars of the NBA, like, in the 90s, right?
That's the only thing I compare it to.
Like, those guys are not do not nearly possess the athleticism that someone like Giannis has. Or someone like LeBron has.
Okay, but, like, it's hard to compare to LeBron because he's a once-in-a-ever athlete. Like, he's one...
People compare him to Jordan all the time.
Okay, people compare his career to Jordan, but they can't compare them as players because LeBron is a... First off, he's a different position entirely. Secondly, he has a different skill set. And you can compare championships and you can compare MVPs and you can compare leagues even. But, like, you cannot... I'm not going to say you can't say one is better than the other. All I'm saying is that, like...
Dude, all I'm saying, 1v1, LeBron destroys him every time.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But I believe that Michael Jordan is the better player, is the better NBA player. While LeBron James is the better basketball player.
He's the better athlete. No questions asked.
Yeah, no, he is. But, like, what I'm... I guess to kind of explain what I'm saying is that, like, LeBron James, as a basketball player, is the greatest basketball player that anyone, and it's, I would find it very hard to dispute this, that anyone has ever seen. But when you look at Michael Jordan, he's the best NBA player of all time because he, beyond himself, has pushed his team to such high limits.
Let's not even look at that. Look at a point guard like Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And now look at it. Or John Stockton. Look at that kind of a point guard. And then look at a point guard like fucking Russell Westbrook, right? They are leagues apart.
Yeah, no, their play styles are so different because the league has grown to become something different than it was back then.
Even, like, if you look at... Okay, Russell Westbrook's not a traditional point guard. But if you looked at John Stockton and someone
Chris
like...
Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul. The athleticism is still... miles apart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that the players currently are better than the players of the past, but the NBA player, like John Stockton, I don't really know much about John Stockton, but like Magic Johnson is a better NBA player than Chris Paul is. Because he was able to bring his team to a certain place to win a championship. Multiple times.
But again...
He knew what it took to get his team to the championship, whereas Chris Paul, throughout his career, has not been able to do that.
But if we can argue that... If we can agree that the NBA is a much more difficult league today than it was in the 90s, then who's to say that if you put Chris Paul in the 90s, he also would not have led it to the moment?
I see, that's the thing, is that because it's a different league, and I think the way it grew, if you put Chris Paul back in the day, he's not going to be able to bring his team a championship because it was a lot more of a physical league back then, whereas now it's more based on like speed and getting to the hole as fast as possible, or even, you know, getting to the open man as fast as possible, whereas back then it was about grinding to get your 2 points, where Chris Paul could not do that back then. I think there's very few people in the league today that could do that. Giannis Antetokounmpo, definitely. LeBron James, definitely. Kawhi Leonard, definitely. But, like, Steph Curry? Sure, he can shoot a shot, but, like, that wasn't what it was back then. There's no way that his team would let him get away with that back then.
James Harden would wipe the floor with almost any NBA team.
No way. No way. I think LeBron... I think James Harden... I think he would be a very solid player, and I think that if he was put into a situation where he's back in the 90s, the rules are 90s rules. You know, the things that they get away with are back things that are back in the 90s. There's no way he gets away with those. There's no way that he's able to perform in the way that he is right now with the things that they're able to get away with back then. I just don't see it happening is the only thing. I'd love to see it, but no way.
I think they'd have a tough time stopping him.
I think he's one of the most, and I think a lot of people say this, is he's one of the most prolific scorers that anybody has ever seen. and that's kind of undisputed because the guy literally took so much time off to like fuck around, and then he first game back got 44 points. Like, it's undeniable how amazing he is, but different league today.
Well, I agree, it's a different
league. Yeah, wow, that was really boring. I was just catching up on my reading about bookies and other things.
You're really into that, aren't you?
That conversation was more interesting than anything in Wonder Woman 1984.
I agree with that. Forgot for a minute there. That's what we're reviewing this week.
That's all right. Next week we'll do our top of the year, and that's always fun.
My number one would be The Last Dance.
I'm not going to object.
I will.
I know you will, because you wouldn't allow Twin Peaks, so you're not going to allow The Last Dance.
Yeah, not a movie.
My number one, The Outsider.
I know you're lying. All right, let's just get rolling. Maybe we can recreate some of the magic of John Stockton talk. Ooh, a little Taco Bell Mountain Dew.
Not Baja Blast, just regular.
Kind of nice. Person are you if you don't get Baja Blast?
I only like Baja Blast. Yeah. I should have stopped over there and got fucking Voltage. That was a night.
Code Red. Wait, that was a night? That was the start of something?
That was. No, that was the start of me going to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Crashing from sugar high. Mountain Dew.
Dude, Code Red and a Halo campaign. Those are like peanut butter and jelly.
Those are the days.
If I could go back, you sure as shit I am.
That's why I told you. You should just get slammed on Four Loko.
Oh, yeah, Jake. I wanted to bring this up to you, by the way.
What?
We were talking about, like, because I bought White Claws for myself, and I'm very open about it because I like seltzer. And Zach said that it is a bitch drink.
I did say that. That's correct.
And he was talking about all the different types, and I was trying to tell, show him that there are drinks out there that are more bitchy than White Claws.
I'm specifically stating that is not a gender stereotype. I think if you were to look at the raw data, the people that buy White Claws, I think you could indiscreetably say, yeah, she's probably a bitch.
All right. Well, either way, I said that there were bitchier drinks out there, and I brought up Four Loko, to which Zach said that he would love to get trashed on Four Loko and take a Saturday or Sunday and just do it all day long. Start early, end late.
Because I've never had it before.
All I'll say is, you disrespect Four Lokos, you're disrespecting our military. So.
Listen, I understand. I've never had a Four Loko myself. And I also said that I would participate in Zach's shenanigans. So I would love to partake in this Four Loko adventure that he feels so compelled to take himself on. And
I think we could call it the Lokoist Four Loko Challenge.
Would you participate in said Lokoist Four Loko Challenge?
I've already had my fair share of Four Loko nights, so you guys have fun.
Also, when I brought up that White Claws were the bitchiest drink that Chris could buy, he tried to throw in my face that all the Limeritas that I bought.
Limeritas, dude. They're so much more bitchy than White Claws.
Just to backtrack to Four Lokos, they're kind of hard to drink the whole thing because they're so sweet and sugary.
I don't even know where you would... I don't think I've seen one in a store in a long time.
Go to the corner store. They always had them at the corner store. Are you kidding me?
You think so?
They may not be. Or did they, like, were illegal at one point and then they, like, re-regulated them?
Oh, shut up. Four Loko was...
Dude, are we going to have to get them on the black web?
I was about to say, if Four Loko is regulated, it's almost not worth it.
Yeah, there's something about, like, the caffeine to alcohol content was, like, insane at one point. So I think they had to, like, take it off the market and they...
Okay, but they allow, like, they allow places to serve Red Bull and vodka? Like, that makes no fucking sense.
No, they don't allow them to serve it. The bar just happens to have Red Bull and they happen to have vodka. And if you ask for it... Why can't they make it?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Is nowhere that you go will there, that be a drink on the menu. It's just something they can do.
Correct. And that's my favorite drink, by the way.
Red Bull and vodka?
Yep.
Or is that? Red Bull and Jägermeister was what I was thinking.
Hell yeah, brother.
A couple weeks ago I did.
Jäger. I do.
Yeah, it's good.
I like Jäger.
A couple weeks ago, I did Red Bull and tequila. I can't wait for
this whole fucking coronavirus to be over.
Why?
Cause I want to go out, like, and go to a bar.
Go to Woodman's, slam some Four Locos.
Dude, fuck yeah. Are you kidding me?
Jason has a bar. Do you want to go there?
I'd fucking love to.
Let's go there.
Anytime, any place. Like, once this is done, I'm gunning it. Like, I'm out there first night. I feel like it's going to be like Pokemon Go when the bars open up. When Pokemon Go happened, everybody was hitting the streets. Everybody was looking for Pokemon that first weekend. I'm doing the same shit when this is over.
My last weekend at Chase's. No, not my last one.
Oh, first off, sorry. I just want to jump in right here. Four Locos, the recipe used to include caffeine. As in, it no longer does. As in, it's pointless to try Four Locos now.
I want my Four Locos raw and uncut.
So basically, what you're telling me is I have to mix a White Claw with Code Red.
Dude, I guess that's what I'm telling you.
What if we dissolve caffeine pills in the Four Loko, then we just start chugging them?
This is the shit. Like, these are the ideas that make it so, you know, Einstein discovers the theory of relativity. Like, these are the level of ideas that push to these moments.
I want my heart to stop. And then you pour Four Loko down my mouth and it kickstarts again.
I want to wake up with shit in my pants.
That Molly Crew song kickstarted my heart. That was about someone pouring Four Loko down his mouth and he's passed out.
Somebody has to have like pallets of this shit in their basement somewhere, right?
We just gotta find that guy. Anyways, as I was saying, dude, there was a fucking fight in the bar.
Seriously? Like a fist fight?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a fight. They kicked the shit out of that guy.
Dang. They did, so it was
they?
Yeah. There was this guy who comes in, and we have a bartender who's like, well, I don't work there anymore. They have a bartender that's freshly 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's like, said some borderline pretty creepy shit to her. And she's always just kind of like, brush it off, like, well, whatever, he's harmless. One night, he was there. And I guess every time she went to the kitchen to get food, he would say something really weird and, like, gross.
Ew.
And so these two guys were like, hey, dude, if you don't knock it off, like, we're going to have a problem. So I guess he didn't knock it off. And these two guys beat the shit out of him. And they, like, they opened the door to basically throw him out and tell him to leave. And one guy held the door open, the other one pushed him. And when he fell, he like tripped over the step, fell on the ground and hit his head on the concrete, and he was out cold for like 15 minutes.
Shit.
We were like the guy, like, at that moment, after he saw his head hit the ground, he had this look in his face like, oh, I just fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's yeah, have you seen Waves, dude? Oof.
That well, he woke up and he's fine. He had a mild concussion.
Did he come back?
He's not been back since. The police came and were like, so where's the guy that started the fight? Oh, yeah, he's in the bar finishing his dinner. Like, he's like, what? He's like, yeah, he's in there. He's finished eating.
That's fucking sick.
What do you have?
I think he had chicken parm.
No.
Good choice.
We're the only people that would think, like,
oh man, I wonder what he was eating.
I mean, I'm just curious what a guy would. Good choice. I'm just curious what a person, what a man would eat after you beat another man's ass. And chicken parm seems like a reasonable answer.
Chicken parm seems like a really reasonable answer.
I'd probably get like, chicken wings, but.
I get the chicken tenders.
Your celebratory, like, I just kicked somebody's ass meal.
No, I get the chicken tenders, honey mustard, dipping sauce.
Maybe like a chili dog. I feel like a chili dog is I just beat somebody's ass meal.
I don't know.
If I got my ass beat, I'd eat Chinese food. Probably lo mein.
If I lost a fight, I'd probably eat McDonald's.
Bowl of cereal. That's what I deserve. I don't deserve a hot meal. Okay. Bowl of cereal. Well, it depends on who I fought, if I'm being completely honest. If I fight Zach and I lose, I'm eating a bowl of cereal.
But yes, you're gonna have a fucking dirt nap. That's what you're gonna have.
Sure, dude, I can kick your ass. But like if I got my ass kicked by like Brock Lesnar kicks my ass, dude, you're sure as shit I'm getting something good after that, dude. I'm getting I don't know what I'm getting. I'm probably getting like a Wagyu beef burger or some shit.
I can rack of ribs.
Yeah, dude, I'm getting a rack of ribs. Like, that's good shit.
What if Jackie Chan beat your ass?
Fuck it, dude. Brock Lesnar kicked my ass. Brock Lesnar would stomp you out so quick.
No, I could probably take a punch from him.
He watches UFC, so now he can take a punch from Brock Lesnar. Makes sense.
No, dude, I think I could.
No, you could.
What happens? What do you eat if Jackie Chan kicks your ass?
Dude, if Jackie Chan kicks my, I would be more honored if Jackie Chan kicked my ass than Brock Lesnar. I'm getting like surf and turf filet mignon lobster. Like, that's
nice.
I'm all waking good up with a black eye, bloody nose. I'm heading straight to the finest restaurant possible.
What about Jason Statham? He kicks your ass.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You get Denny's.
I don't know as if Jason Statham is legit. I feel like he's all show, you know?
I could probably take a punch from him.
I feel like Jason Statham, you could take a punch from.
I don't think you could take a punch from many people, Zach. No offense.
Jason Statham, Ronda Rousey, and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
There's no way you could take a punch from Ronda Rousey.
No, dude, I really can't.
She's won medals at the Olympics for what she does. Like, there's
no way. I didn't realize they gave out an Olympic medal for punching.
Fucking God.
Chris, Ronda Rousey beats your ass. What do you eat afterwards?
If Ronda Rousey beats my ass, I'm not going to put her up there with Jackie Chan. I'm going to put her, like, a little bit below Brock Lesnar. I'm probably going to get, like...
Olive Garden? Tour of Italy?
No. I'm going to get, like, probably handmade ravioli.
Ravioli?
That seems right to me. I don't know why. It just does.
Can of ravioli?
Are you taking a game of erotic wrestling with Ronda Rousey?
No.
No?
No. There's no way that stays erotic. It just ends up with me getting my ass kicked.
That could be. That's a good name for a show: Erotic Ronda Rousey Wrestling.
Dude, you remember the first time we had this conversation? I think it was one of the shows that Andrew was on, and he was getting so irritated that we weren't talking about like what we're supposed to be reviewing. We were talking about whether or not I could take a punch from Ronda Rousey.
I forgot about that.
This has about on par.
I cannot handle what this show is meant to be.
Yeah.
We should start a new podcast called Could Zach Take a Punch From? And then we just discuss week after week just different people if Zach could take a punch from them.
Like when Zach said that the Mountain could kick Conor McGregor's ass.
No, I said he couldn't.
Oh, you said Conor McGregor could kick the Mountain's ass.
No. I did not say that. I just said that people think that would be such an unfair fight, and I'm here to tell you it wouldn't be.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the name of the show is called Could Zach Take a Punch From?
We could start
could you
every.
Could take a punch from the mountain?
We could start every episode with that segment. And I'll tell you how I could take a punch from that person.
Could you take a punch from the mountain?
Probably.
Fucking gosh, dude, you're ridiculous.
Okay, what's the definition of to take a punch from? Like you wouldn't die afterwards?
You wouldn't get knocked out.
I wouldn't be knocked out.
Okay, you couldn't take a punch from the mountain.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand where this like false confidence comes from.
Dude, if you look at how jacked he is, right? If you look at how ripped he is, do you think that he's gonna have very good form when he goes to swing and take a punch? No, his muscles are gonna get in the way, dude. He's gonna be fucking punching like this. He can't fully extend because his muscles are gonna get in the way.
Yeah, but he's still gonna kick you.
I'm just looking at how small and easily punchable your face is. And the mountain wins out.
All this is based on the opportunity that this guy just says, I want to punch you in the face. And you're like, okay.
Chris, would you let the mountain give you a Charlie horse?
There's no way I'd let the mountain do anything to me. Dude, I bet his hand would take up my entire forearm.
Nothing? You wouldn't let him help you carry up some groceries?
No. He would, like, dude, he would twist.
Your eggs.
Shit. I feel like if he gave me a Charlie horse, like, he would go to twist and, like, he would accidentally rip flesh from my bone.
That's not what a Charlie horse is.
Yeah. A Charlie horse is, like, where. Oh, I'm thinking of Indian burn.
Nope, that's racist. You can't say that.
Native American burn. Is that racist?
Yeah, exactly. I'm probably still.
You'd have to let him, like, basically, like, one knuckle it, like, punch you in the thigh.
Oh, no way, dude. That's breaking femur.
Nope. Nope. Now I'm doing it.
Why did your family come to America?
Mine?
Well, I mean, you guys are related, so I assume both of yours.
When did our family come to America?
Yeah.
I assume I'm the Mayflower, bud.
You guys are like... Original,
I really have no idea.
American immigrants.
I don't know our family history.
In theory, wouldn't everyone's ancestors track back to someone on the Mayflower?
No. Because some people came over in like the 1800s. Some people came over yesterday.
I guess that's true.
Some people were probably originated from natives who were here. Probably some people were from the Canadian region that came down.
I like to think that I'm full-blooded American, so I'm gonna say they came over.
I mean, you are an American. Like by legal standards, you are.
No, full-blooded American is what I said.
Oh, American. Okay, not Americant.
I don't know our family history. I think our dad's side is Scottish.
I was gonna say you have to have something since you have red hair.
So that could be the Mayflower. But then I think our mom's side of the family is like Canadian descent.
My mom's side came over here in like the 1900s, 1910s, some shit like that.
You're barely American, bud.
Dude, I'm like third or fourth generation. I suppose, like, I've talked to my mom about this, and she's informed me that I can legally become an Italian citizen if she gets her Italian citizenship.
Why would she?
It's fucking expensive. Like, it costs like $5,000 just for like an interpreter.
I have to pay money to be a citizen there?
Yes, you can't just file for like citizenship and just be like, oh, okay, like here, I'm citizenship.
Oh, this was the land of the free, I guess not.
It's Italy.
This is the land of the $5,000 citizen, I guess.
Oh my fucking gosh. Dude, I need to go into a store and just say and grab a Snickers and try and walk out and be like, have them be, hey, 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 just be like, oh, I thought this was the land of the free.
The land of the fucking free, bud.
My bad. That would be funny as shit.
All right, well, let's start recording. For real. Chris, no more racial slurs.
I wasn't trying to be. I'm sorry.
Did you know that if you're out in the woods and you come across a game warden, that game warden has more authority over you than the president of the United States?
No.
Yeah, they have a lot of power.
If you're out in the middle of the woods and you're like doing like lighting a fire next to like a very dry area,
you better not be doing that.
That game warden has more authority than the president of the United States.
He does.
Oh fuck you, he does.
A police officer would need probable cause to search you. A game warden can just do it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Is that why you want to be a game warden, Zach?
You want to be a game warden?
I wouldn't say no if someone offered it to me.
Yeah, but nobody's just going to offer you a game wardenship. Hey, man, I've got an opening. Like, I don't know what you're doing later. I Advanced Auto, I know, is pretty cool, but, like, you want to come over and be a game warden?
No, sorry, you're not the GM at Advanced Auto
Parts. Oh, that's right.
GM now?
Assistant to the
GM. Assistant to the GM.
Assistant to the GM.
General
manager. Gotcha. All right, let's fucking get this shit going.